Hello and welcome to The Naked Gospel, where we have conversations about sex, singleness, marriage, pornography, and everything in between. We bring on cultural thinkers, parents, important folk, and normal folk alike. I am your host, Shane O'Neill. If you're listening in, video versions of all of these episodes are available at YouTube, Proven Ministries. We have that below. If you're watching, you just rather listen in, then all of these episodes are available on every major podcast platform. Whether you're listening or watching, do subscribe. Subscribe and continue to track with us. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hello, Naked Gospel listeners. Thank you for being with us this past year. It's December. The year is done. We've recorded something like 45 interviews this past year. And our hope and vision of seeing these sorts of conversations normalized within the churches and families, amongst communities and friends. I think we're seeing that. We've seen a lot of kind of revolutionary overtones with what's happened to Pornhub, with them downsizing 75% of their content from 13.6 million videos, 2.9 million videos. Each video is too much, but downsizing 75% is a big deal, taking off a lot of their misogynistic, racist, abuse, exploitative content. A lot of it's just gnarly. It was of children and women being exploited, and that's been a huge victory. MasterCard, Discovery, Visa, in deciding to no longer support Pornhub. So it was kind of an economic battle, and that was really neat to see take place. The Ravi Zacharias scandal this year hit a lot of us hard. We recently posted a video of Billie Eilish. So just a lot of different cultural happenings. We've been able to record on all of it, and we're thankful for all of you. Heather Kate is joining us for this final episode. Heather, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So Heather, you aren't just a listener. You were in a podcast.
I was.
We interviewed you this year.
It was so cool.
It was cool. Was it a good experience?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Yeah. It was exhausting, but
it is
so
exhausting.
Good.
I know. It's like a counseling session. Like mm-hmm. You go in and you feel so animated and stimulated, and then you walk out and you need to like sleep for 12 hours.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. It's like that every time for me. Anyways, we've been able to look at a lot of different themes and series this year. So from the sex industry to same-sex and transgenderism, biblical sexuality, singleness, marriage, parenting, culture, spiritual formation, and the like.
What were some of your favorite interviews, Shane?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know what's funny about interviewing is sometimes you'll have like chemistry with somebody before, and then you'll go to interview and they have like an interview face, like a game face.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it becomes a little bit more impersonal, you know, mm-hmm. like question, answer, response, which is, I don't know, sad. I have no idea. It's at least disorienting. But then there are a few people who are stilted and awkward before, but then they go to the interview and they're like the most animated, charismatic people you've ever talked to. So that's always interesting. But I've loved the conversation. Some of my favorites probably with Kurt Thompson. I learned a lot from Kurt Thompson. I think all this is the biblical sexuality when it came to Joshua Ryan Butler coming on and talking about how the gospel is a union.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was capped off with like Christopher West towards the end of the year. I think that's been really helpful. Obviously, Sheila Gregoire has been incredible, and she's torn my life apart in the best of ways. Really impacted my marriage with Kaylee probably more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you interviewed so many people this year, so many of my favorites, and it's hard to pick.
Mm.
But I think to me the pinnacle was Christopher West.
You're just a fangirl, aren't you?
I'm a fangirl of Christopher West. If you're listening, Christopher, can't wait to meet you and Wendy someday.
Yeah.
But yes, I loved that episode. It was like standing under a waterfall of rich theology and since he was kind of my introduction to a more theological understanding of sexuality, that was really exciting for me. But Sheila Gregoire also definitely stands out. I think just her message is very needed, and she's she's like breaking down walls in what she's doing. But also, I just loved getting to see some of the people I know in podcasts. So yours and Kaylee's podcast from the spring before you got married were just really, really cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've had a couple of shorter videos with like Marshall and Kale, and it's just great to hear your hearts and yeah, like what you guys are learning too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I liked doing that with Drew Boa.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people that we have on are like older brothers, older sisters, mm-hmm. just people who are generationally above me. So to bring in Drew Boa, who's somebody who's doing something very similar to what we're doing, and he's in our age bracket, and just to talk to him about how he got into that and to ask questions back and forth, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I shouldn't say that. Okay. Yeah, it's been fun across the board. Any other highlights for me?
Can you talk a little bit about some of the industry conversations you got to have?
Yeah, we started with that. We're talking with Emily about Thailand.
Yeah.
That was cool. Harmony Dust came on twice. She was in the industry, and now she has an organization. I think it's I Am a Treasure, and it's in LA, and it helps, I think, women primarily who are in the industry get out of the industry and find value in themselves and in relationships and learn to dignify themselves, hence I Am a Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen an organization quite like that with mm-hmm. like sex workers and porn stars. I really love what Harmony is doing. Mm-hmm. I really like talking with Harmony. Yeah. She's a very measured individual, and her story is awesome. Crazy. I still think about it and, yeah get a bit weepy at times. Yeah.
Have you gotten any feedback from listeners of their favorite episodes, or can you recall any kind of stats, like the most popular episodes?
Yeah. Yeah, the David Instone Brewer, Reverend Dr. David Instone Brewer, he came on and talked about like polyamory, and he talked about divorce. He's done a lot of research. So he works at Cambridge in one of their libraries as a researcher, the Tyndale House, I think. And so he's stupid smart. And so getting to talk to him about that stuff was neat. He's a nerd through and through in the best of ways. So it was fun just to be a nerd with him. yes, we got to nerd out with a lot of people. I think we had a couple people come on for like technology ethics, which was cool. We stayed on here a lot of times, but like sexual ethics doesn't happen in a vacuum, you know, like what we believe, about sex and our bodies, is inherited from our relationships, from technology, from community, from our parents. So it touches a lot of circles in our lives. So it was fun to look at the technology ethics, and totally tangential, but I loved it anyways, doing the C.S. Lewis podcast, where it had very little to do with sexual integrity per se, except for the Michael Ward one. Michael Ward did do a good job of talking us through Lewis's view of sex and sexuality in marriage. So that was neat.
Yeah, that inspired me to finish reading the Space Trilogy.
Did you do it?
Because I'm still inspired.
Where are you in it?
I read the first two, and I started That Hideous Strength. But
did you like them?
I did. Yeah? I did like them.
Okay.
I mean, they are weird.
They're super weird, yeah.
Yeah, I think Perlandra was my favorite so far.
Perlandra's incredible.
Yeah.
That gave me a lot of imagination for pre-fall man and woman. Pre-fall people.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, as far as popular goes, there was, I think, Sean McDowell, the episode about Ravi Zacharias, having Drew Boa on, Ray Ortland, Brenna Blaine, Sheila. A lot of people really appreciated the bisexuality or homosexuality conversations, the transgender conversations, for obvious reasons, I think. A lot of people don't know what to do with these topics or these issues, how to have conversations about them.
Yeah.
Hard to pull a personal favorite. I found myself crying with a lot of people this past year. Probably the first one with Kurt Thompson, and then Ray Ortland was really awesome, and I really loved the last one with Sam Albury.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one. I really loved that one, too.
Yeah.
I loved the discussion of what it means to live embodied lives, and I love that there are Christians thinking through that so that we're not accidentally falling into a dualistic existence.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hello and welcome to the Waking Up to Grace podcast, where we celebrate and explore the finished work of our Lord, Jesus Christ. The Waking Up to Grace podcast can be found on every major platform. And now, here's Lenny.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, all of that. And the bravery, too, because Sam is gay, and he lives a life of celibacy. He's a pastor. He's one of the directors for Gospel Coalition. He's very outspoken, but, like, he's so gentle, too. I just respect him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of getting him back on this next year.
Yeah, he has a short little book about whether or not it's okay to practice homosexuality.
Mm.
And I read that book, and as a straight person, found it incredibly convicting and challenging. So I love that he can speak to both. Everything he has to say is applicable to everyone, regardless of orientation or attraction.
Is that the Is God Anti-Gay?
Yes, that's the one.
It's small, it's little.
It's very thin.
Gentle. Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, he's got a one out, Seven Myths of Singleness.
Yes.
That I want to dive into.
Really?
That'd be fun, yeah.
I still haven't read it, but yes. I've heard good things.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him. I liked a lot of these conversations. So,
what about books? So top books of these conversations.
Yeah, I actually distilled this for you listeners. So, four books. Out of the 45 conversations we've been able to have, here are four books. Because I've ended up reading a crap ton of books this past year and interviewing so many people. But if I had to boil it down to like four books of the year, I would say The Death of Porn by Ray Ortland. That one specifically for men is basically writing it. So the format is he's a father writing as though he's writing seven letters to a son who's struggling with desire, basically. Not specifically just porn, but like desire and longing, sexual desire. So I loved that. I started reading that book and very quickly realized that Ray Ortland knows the gospel better than I do. The way he was able to articulate it and present it in different scenarios really humbled me and gave kind of a holy fire inside of me to want to know the gospel better, which was cool. It's cool when that happens, because the gospel can get so two-dimensional or even one-dimensional, and for him to breathe life and dimension back onto it where it becomes three-dimensional again is really invigorating and made me want to explore what God has to say about our bodies. We just talked about that with Sam Albury. That one I liked because it was so simple. I felt like anyone could read that book. I probably would have structured it differently, but it was so simple, and he goes after really good topics. Like, he talks about gender dysphoria, and, you know, and he talks about transgenderism and post-humanism of finding our identities in technology and being disembodied human beings.
Wow.
He spends a lot of time in Genesis 1. He looks at Jesus as an embodied human being. So I really appreciated that book because of its simplicity. Like, if there was a book that somebody was going to read just to understand the landscape of this conversation better for their own life and for their community, I'd recommend that one. The Death of Porn, probably more of a personal one. And then The Soul of Shame with Kurt Thompson. That one is pretty academic, but it is stellar. He definitely personalizes it once he gets past the neurobiology of it and starts working through the scripture. And then Our Bodies Tell God's Story with the Christopher West.
The one and only.
Yeah. Yeah. So those would be the four books. Our Body Tells God's Story definitely presented sexual ethics in light of the gospel in a way that I wasn't very familiar with, and it's been very helpful.
It's cool.
Challenged me in a lot of ways.
And it's written for Protestants, even though he's a Catholic.
Yes, that is cool. Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty sensitive with that stuff, mm-hmm. which is encouraging to me. He's not overbearing or dogmatic. He's a really good thinker, and he likes to free think through things.
Yeah.
He's had a huge impact on you.
Huge.
What was the book that you read by him that impacted you?
So in a class in college, I had to read a short book, but it's jam-packed. So every single paragraph is just, it's a logical argument called Introduction to Theology of the Body for Beginners. So he's distilling Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body, and he's just laying out the major points in that book. Start pre-fall, why did God create man and woman, what was sex for, then post-fall, what do we do now, and ends with Marriage Supper of the Lamb, that is the purpose of sex, is to give us a taste of, it's a sacrament, and gives us a taste of the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. So it was just revolutionary coming out of purity culture, just being told sex is bad outside of marriage, inside it's pretty good, so just wait. That's all I got. And so, reading Christopher West and being given a vision of not just what sex shouldn't be, but what it can be, what it's supposed to be, what God has for us in it, made me actually want to be chaste as a single person.
Amen.
and confirmed for me that sex is for marriage. But we weren't. He's not just pulling out single verses from scripture saying, "See, it's a bigger picture. It's
the full story.
The full story," which is why he named his book what he did, which is our bodies tell God's redemptive story.
Yeah. I love all of that. He's going to be helping us with a project for parents in the next few months, and I'm looking forward to that.
Where do you see this? Oh, go ahead.
You
have a question?
It sounds like we're going in a similar direction. I want to know, like, of these categories that we've been able to touch on this year, are there any ones that you've especially liked or specific categories that you'd like to see us address going forward?
As
Heather Kate, the listener.
Yes.
Yeah.
As the listener, which I am regularly. I especially love the foundational conversations around biblical sexuality, just because I think it's not been handled well by the church in the past. And so I often feel like even when I'm reasoning with myself, I have to go back to basics. Or if I'm entering a conversation and I want to be able to tell a friend why I think that sex is for marriage, I have to go back to basics. And so I feel like that's something that I'm still developing a fuller understanding theologically of our bodies and sex, and how that plays out as a single person, or how that plays out for married people, and when you're in the phase of dating, what that looks like. So biblical sexuality, I think, is big. I still want to as well continue to learn from people who've been in the industry. I think those episodes, those conversations don't feel as close to me, but it's also something I want to learn more about, because again, I'm sort of equipping myself to have a conversation with someone who is maybe okay with porn, doesn't think it's as bad as we believe it is. And so not being afraid to kind of like enter into that space. So maybe more interviews with more people coming out of the sex industry.
Are you saying people who have left the sex industry because they've seen it as bad, or people who are maybe in the industry who don't think it's bad?
I think the former.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how productive it would be to have someone of the latter on,
it'd
be interesting.
So I wanted to make sure I was
hearing
you right.
Like if I'm having a conversation with someone who is pro porn, coming equipped with information from people who have been in it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they
so
know.
Conversations like that would help with those conversations.
Yeah, totally. Kind of like that Matt Frad porn myth perspective.
Yeah,
where
that
it's
makes
like
sense.
not talking about porn from a religious perspective or Christian perspective, but even just in a very practical way, which I think Brad Huddleston does really well.
Yeah.
With his work on technology and but yeah, and I think also it's some conversations have come up in community recently about purity culture, and I think that comes up in your podcast, but it'd be really interesting to kind of do a more intentional deep dive into,
like a
into that
or something.
Yeah, because it's just such a common experience for so many people our age. And I think also people older than us, older generations who maybe taught purity culture, who maybe were some of those youth group leaders or parents giving Josh Harris to their kids, like helping them understand how it's hurt us and why we maybe are, why we're pushing back against it. Because that's a conversation I've had recently. Like, help me understand why purity culture is bad. And because for me it was good, or I didn't have any problems with it. So opening up that conversation a little more intentionally could be really neat. Because I think it also helps address that shame piece that we all deal with our desires and longings and our brokenness. Like, purity culture doesn't leave any room to admit to a porn addiction, you know.
Yeah.
Which is step one.
Yeah. Yeah. In any recovery program it is. And I think that there's a real dilemma of being a Christian today, a Christian youth today, and people say purity culture is behind us, but there are implicit features of it that are still very much alive and active in our Christian culture. We just don't acknowledge them or don't talk about them. And then the alternative is hookup culture.
Yeah.
And that might be fun to do like a mini series on purity culture and then a mini series on hookup culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really kind of juxtaposite, contrast the two.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And find commonalities as well.
Yeah, overlap for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Compare and contrast.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm still waiting for that dating app episode too.
That's true. Me too. Yeah. That would be fun. That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, Heather, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Shane.
I had, that was my question. Was there a question that you had?
Well, my question was, what do you hope for in
right,
the coming
moving
year?
Forward. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd
which
like
we
to,
touched on a little bit. But.
Yeah, I like your sentiment or your imaginings of doing mini series around these topics instead of just shotgunning them in the sense of like a big spread. We've covered so many topics this year, but maybe starting to create miniseries. Either way, I would love to hear from all of you about what you would like for us to dive into and discuss. What are topics that you'd be interested in hearing about? Do you like the idea of miniseries? What kind of people, specifically who, would you like to see on this podcast? We've been able to get some really neat people. So if you make some suggestions, then we'll make effort to get them on. Thank you for joining us. Heather, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Shane. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, it has been fun. Guys, thank you again for this year. Honestly, we're putting this together because no one has done it before, and we really just want to have these sorts of candid and raw conversations. Most of the time, we are shooting from the hip, but it's worth doing. So continue to give us feedback. There's still time to become a disruptor if you'd like to join the Naked Gospel community and more proactively shape and form this podcast, and you get a sweet mug. It's $5 a month, and we have a matching donor, so whatever you give is doubled. We're grateful for all of you. Send us your thoughts, and we will catch you in just a few weeks. Bye, guys.